We're in the middle of the Netivot Shalom on Chanukah, and before we start, I want to share with you an interesting point, a fantastic thing that happened about our learning tonight. Two interesting things happened. For many years, we didn't have official studies on Chanukah night. Officially, it was an off night, and I didn't understand why it should be so, because Hanukkah is a time where you should be learning more Torah, not less Torah. And the guys in class agreed with me, so I'd come in during the nights of Hanukkah, and we'd learn. And there was unofficial learning, and we'd have a very nice time learning together, and that's the way it was until this year, when suddenly I get an email from Rav Listman that there's going to be class on Wednesday and Thursday night, right? And I was a little bit surprised for two reasons. Firstly, because the sign said that afternoon studies are off, and it didn't say there was going to be class tonight. And secondly, because of that sign, I was initially very happy, because this year, the place I teach in the afternoons, Torah B'Tzion, the yeshiva in Katamon, was having a party tonight and last night, and they had asked me if I would come, and I said, yeah, and I said, yeah, I said, Emir Tzoshem, I'll be there. And then I got this email from Rav Listman, so I was stuck in a bind. What am I doing? I contacted the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah B'Tzion, Rav Neria, and I asked him what he thinks. So he said to me that he thinks that the students of the yeshiva, if they're celebrating with their Rabbein, then the right thing is, part of the celebration is to be with, I learn with them every afternoon, I should be there too, but the actual learning of Torah at Machon Meir is more important. So he said, don't come on Wednesday or Thursday night, even though technically we do want you here, but he said we should have the learning tonight. So all the hours we're learning tonight are really the merits of Yeshiva Torah B'Tzion and Katamon. So we owe them one, and we'll dedicate our learning to them. Among all of Am Yisrael needs a lot of schuyot tonight, as you guys know. But they deserve the credit, because the truth is that I had already obligated myself to go there when they told me about the party. So, Bezat Shem, let's make it worthwhile and let's move forward in the Netivot Shalom. What? 15 minutes. We learn here till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not possible. The party started a half hour ago. It's not. Okay. So, we're doing the Netivot Shalom on Miketz, and the Rebbe of Slonim, the Netivot Shalom, had been discussing the concept of Keitz Sam Lachoshech, that God puts an endpoint to the darkness. He had discussed the darkness that sometimes envelops a person in his personal life, and the capacity of a person connecting to the Ribon Shalom from within that darkness, the recognition that there is no such thing as darkness before Hashem, and that whatever the situation may be, Hashem is with the person. And he had discussed that that's the idea that the light pushes away the darkness, a small amount of light pushes away a lot of darkness, and the light especially shines on Chanukah, and the light especially shines on Shabbos. Shabbos is a special time of light, as he explained last time, the Kabbalistic, what it says in the Zohar, Raza de Shabbat, Ihi Shabbat, the secret of Shabbos is Shabbos itself. He had discussed that last time. Now he continues and says, the Talmud tells us in Shabbos that God says to Moshe, I have a great gift. Thank you. I have a great gift in my storage houses. It's called Shabbos, and I want to give it to the Jewish people. And the Netivot Shalom had said, what does it mean, God's storage houses, that God has a great gift in his treasury? And how is Shabbos a better gift than all the other mitzvot? So the Netivot Shalom continues and says, Achem kavanat omro matana tova yeshli bevet gnazai. What the Gemara means, that Hashem says, I have a good gift in my treasury, Shabbat yesh lo raz pnimi, because there's an internal secret in the Shabbos, tamir v'ne'elam, it is encapsulized, it is hidden, shemilvad kol dinei Shabbat shenit parshu b'Torah, that aside from all the laws of Shabbos that are written explicitly in the Torah, od yesh basod pnimi, there is an internal secret to the Shabbos. V'ganuz, it is hidden. V'raza de Shabbat, it is the secret of Shabbos. Shehu ha'or shel Shabbat, that is the light of Shabbos. Shebishabbat me'ir or elokut, that on Shabbos there is a godly light that shines. Davar she'ino b'chol shara mitzvot, something that you don't have in any other mitzvah. V'alav ne'emar lech v'odiyam, and that's what Hashem says, go tell them, I'm about to give them a special gift from my storage houses. It's not about not doing work on Shabbos. That's the mitzvah they'll see in the Torah. It's not about making Kiddush on Shabbos. That's a mitzvah they'll see in the Torah. It's about a secret light that I'm giving them on Shabbos that they won't see. And I need you to explain it to them, Hashem says to Moshe, before I give it to them. Based on this, we could explain the Medrash Rabbah that says, you might think that I gave you a bad thing when I gave you Shabbos. Can't do any work, gotta stay home. Lo natati lecha ela letovatcha. The Medrash says, Hashem reminds us, I only gave it to you for your good. And the Hasidic Rebbe asked about that. How could a person really entertain the thought that God gave us Shabbos for our detriment? Upiresh, Shema Tomar, and he explained, maybe you'll say, L'ra'atchem ani noten lechem ta Shabbat. I gave it not to your detriment. L'ra'atchem means she'ashabbat nitnat la'akirat hara. L'ra'atchem literally means for your bad. What does it mean for your bad? So the Rebbe explained, maybe you'll think the whole point of Shabbos is the uprooting of evil from you. That Shabbos is about taking away that which is bad. Eini noten lechem ela et ha-shabbat ela l'tovatchem. No, Shabbos is about your good. It's not only for your good, but Shabbat nitna b'ikar la'aseh tov. Shabbos is about positive. People might think, well, through Shabbos, I'll stop being a bad person. I don't call up my parents and yell at them. I don't do all the bad things I do throughout the week. So Shabbos is about removing that which is bad in me. No. Shabbos is about strengthening that which is good in you. Shabbos is about the proactive positive. As we explained, that the secret of Shabbos, the ikara and the essence of Shabbos, hu gilui or elokut, it's the revelation of the godly light, shel az titanag al Hashem, the capacity of connecting our physical joys with Hashem, that's Shabbos. The capacity of bringing down Hashem's light, valpidvarav, based upon his words, yesh dever od baze, we can also explain, she'en ikar ha-shabbat ha-shvita v'isurim lacha, the essence of Shabbos is not about the prohibitions of work. Yes, we are prohibited from doing the 39 machot, etc. But that's not the essence. Ela letovatchem, the essence of Shabbos is really your good, la'ir lachem be'or amir b'shabbat, to give you light on that light that shines on Shabbos, shezeu ha'tanuga gadol biyoter sheyesh bo'olam, which is the greatest pleasure that exists in the world. Shabbos is about giving the good. It's not only about taking away the bad. The fact that we don't do work and all the other things, yes, those are parts of the biblical mitzvah of Shabbos. But what's the essence? What's the secret of Shabbos? It's the light that shines that you can't get any other time of the week.
Even melachot itself is to take the good, not to wear it, not to take the good, not to remove the bad, just to take whatever you want, right? So, when we say that about these organus, can we say that's or zahor et tzadik? Can we say, can we apply for Shabbat? That Shabbat
I think there's a medrash that says it. I think so. Uchmochen u'inyan ner Chanukah. And the same concept is the idea of the lights of Chanukah. She'ikar inyano ka'amur ladlik et ha'or ha'echan. Really, the essence of the mitzvah of Chanukah is to light one candle. Chazal said, you can expand, there's mehadrin, mina mehadrin, you could do even better. But really, the essence of the mitzvah is that one light. Uchidita b'bnei Yisachar b'shem ba'al ha'rokeach. The famous work, the B'nei Yisachar, quotes the Rokeach, that in that light, that single flame of Chanukah, there is a revelation of the hidden light. And over there he writes, I want you to know what I'm telling you now is something I have on tradition from Elio. You don't encounter that often. He says, I want you to know, the light, that first light that you see of Chanukah, that's a revelation of the hidden light. And this is like the Nachmanides writes, Ahadita bechazal, about that which our sages say, Shamar Kadosh Bohu Aaron al Oram Nora, Shelcha Kayam Leolam. Hashem tells Aaron, there's a fantastic medrash in Behal Oscha, that we read in Chanukah about how the tribes, the heads of each tribe brought their sacrifice. The tribe of Levi has no representation. Aaron sees how each tribe brings their sacrifice in the inauguration of the Mishkan, and he has no representation there. And Aaron automatically thinks, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. And Hashem tells Aaron, no, 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 you're great. That's why right after all the sacrifices, there's the mitzvah, Ba'alotcha Tanerot. You're going to bring forth the lights. Your light is eternal. You're going to bring the light of the menorah. And the Ramban over there says, it's not talking about the menorah in the temple. It's talking about the Hasmonean victory. That's the eternal light that Hashem granted Aaron. When Hashem said, your light is eternal, he wasn't talking about the light in the Mishkan. Hashem said, yours is greater than theirs. They're bringing a sacrifice. Now, you're going to bring an eternal light. Says Nachmanides over there, the Medrash doesn't mean the menorah that Aaron lit in the temple that every generation had its Kohen Gadol, but rather it's talking about what we keep doing till today, the light of Hanukkah. Dekai al ner Hanukkah shuam shech loram nora. That the light of Hanukkah is a continuation of the light of the menorah, v'u kayam la'adat biyata Mashiach, which is going to continue till the Mashiach comes. So we see that Hanukkah is a continuation of the light of the menorah, shuhi me'ora ganuz, and the light of the menorah is from the hidden light, ukmo shemichamat ora Shabbat. And just as he said last time, that from the light of Shabbos, kol shultani rugzin umare didina, all powers of anger and justice, those forces that bring us to anger or to exacting judgment, Kulu arkin, they all run away, v'itavumina, and in the face of Shabbos, everything is dispelled. They don't have any say on Shabbos. Shabbos is not a time for taking things to task. Shabbos is time for rest. The courts take a break. Even the angels that represent anger have to take a break from the light of Shabbos. K'mochen me'ir ner Chanukah lemata, me'asara, b'madrigot anmuchot, mekom shilton haklipot v'atuma. By the same token, here down below, in this physical mundane world, where you have all the different encasings, you have all the different forms of defilement, you also have a pure light. The light of Hanukkah that shines, וכמו שכתוב במוראיניים, שאף כי מעולם לא ירדה שכינה למטה מעשרה, the famous work, the מוראיניים, he writes that even though the Talmud tells us in Sukkah, that Hashem never descended below 10 tefachim, the Shekhinah always remains above 10 tefachim. So to speak, up to this point on earth is human domain. From here onward, God comes. But at the first 10 tefachim, the area of the 10 tefachim from the ground up, God never goes down to that area. That's human area. The midget? Shekhinah doesn't come down that far. Even for Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, when the Shekhinah settled on Sinai, it still remained that distance above Sinai. It wouldn't come down all the way. There's a distance that God always maintains from earth.
Is that the reason why it's kind of dangerous spiritually, like when you're sleeping?
I don't know.
Okay. That can't be taken literally.
Why?
God doesn't control it every time I'm sure.
It didn't say it doesn't control. It says the Shekhinah's presence doesn't come. It's two different things. Shekhinah is a level of revelation. And the Shekhinah is above his head, so I guess it's got to be above the 10th Fachim mark.
So how big is that?
What?
How big is that?
This high. Yes.
The floor.
So not this high over the floor. So don't know, put your fist and measure 10. What do you want from me? You see. Huh? I said it never goes lower than that.
Don't we understand that the Shekhinah is a kind of a light, or the light that we encounter on Shabbat?
And therefore what?
So how can it be that there's something changing? How can Hashem show the light if he's not changing something on Shabbat?
I don't either understand. If you ask me what Shekhinah is, I don't know. It's some level of revealment of Hashem. What level? I don't know. I don't know what Shekhinah means more than that.
What about Mishta Havaya? When
doesn't mean that Hashem is down there. The Shekhinah's presence never reveals itself lower than 10 tefachim.
So when on Mishta Havaya, so Shekhinah is not there?
I guess not less than 10 tefachim.
What about the water? When it was sweating the
Why does the Shekhinah have to be there? Why does Hashem have to be down there? I understood. Yeah. I didn't say Hashem has no control under 10 Tefachim. I said Hashem doesn't reveal himself less than 10 Tefachim.
But he's revealing himself.
That's not Shekhinah. Hashem's revealing that he controls. That's not the Shekhinah.
What about prophetic dreams?
That's not necessarily the Shekhinah being there. That's a person seeing something. So Shekhinah doesn't have to come there physically. It has no practical ramifications. Well, the Gemara brings it for practical ramifications. Yeah.
How do I have to understand if you say never? What does that mean?
Things never happen, never will happen.
What's the practical ramification?
What are, so open up a Gemara Sukkah, I think Dalit Amud Aleph, and learn the Gemara there. From this we derive the whole concept that a mechitza is to be 10 tefachim.
And this is from the earth? Not like if you're on the third floor, then...
I don't know how to work that. I don't know.
How come you don't have the answers to my question?
I don't know. You ask me godly things. I know what it says. I try to know what it says in the Talmud. More than that, I don't know. Okay, back to the Ntivot Shalom. We're cut off mid-sentence. He said that... This is a Gemara. This isn't him. This is a Gemara in Sukkah. So he says, the Me'or Naim explains that even though the Shekhinah never comes under 10 Tefachim. And now we're going to hear that he says there's an exception to the rule, Tzitz Chiddush. Ach, but, b'chanukah, when it comes to Chanukah, leval yidach mimenu nidach, so that no one be left out, yored ha'or lemata ma'asara. God has this light come down beneath 10 Tefachim, shenitzotz ha'or me'ir la'yudi b'chol makom shehu, that there's this spark of light that gives a Jew light regardless of where he is. And that's the strength, that little spark that never leaves a Jew, that it gives the Jew strength to overcome any strength from the other side. Any force, anything he has to contend with, there's always that spark that's in him. And a person has to know, there's always that hope. We don't know necessarily how it's going to play itself out. But Chanukah represents the idea of that hope. V'alderech she'me'or Shabbat misugal Yehudi, and just as a Jew can take the light of Shabbos and extend it throughout his week, he can try to hold on to it. Shabbos is supposed to shine on the whole week. So to the light of Chanukah is like once a year, like Yom Kippur is once a year, to give that godly light that will remain with the Jew throughout his year. And then that's this idea that we saw in the beginning of our parsha, that there is an end point. Darkness cannot penetrate beyond a certain point. Hashem puts a limit to the darkness, and a person can uproot the Yetzirah from the world. So he's saying a person can hold on to this light, can take the message of this light and take it with him the whole year, take renewed strength that helps him overcome his Yetzirah throughout the year. Now, he's talking on Kabbalistic levels. I always say, I don't understand Kabbalah, but I think we all understand these concepts on some level. Let's take this to a practical story. You guys know the story of Hanukkah and George Washington? I forgot the name. We could look it up online. The story is recorded. There was a Jew, I forgot his name, who was in George Washington's camp. And it was the night of Hanukkah. And George Washington had just lost a lot of men. And one of the pivotal battles between the British and the Americans, what would be later on the Americans, what?
Colonial.
The colonials. And George Washington was walking through the camp contemplating surrender. He said to himself, how could I let my men fall like this? So many people were killed. What can I do? And as George Washington was walking, he sees a soldier lighting a light. And he's the chief general, George Washington. So he's sure that the man is a spy, and he yells at him, what are you doing? So the guy turns around, and he sees George Washington, so he's really scared. And he says, I'm lighting a menorah. So George Washington says, what do you mean, what are you lighting a menorah here in the camp for? What's a menorah? So the guy says, sir, your excellency, I'm sorry, we Jews, we have a tradition that on this night, many, many years ago, there was a Jewish army of the Maccabees. And they were standing fighting a war against the Greeks where they didn't stand the chance of winning. And although they were outnumbered more than 10 to 1, and the Maccabees and the Greeks had a much more powerful army than they did, the Maccabees fought and were successful. And for 200 years, that success changed the lives of all of the Jewish people, and we regained the temple, and we light these lights. We begin with one, but we show how a small force can become a great force, and how and he tells them the whole miracle of Hanukkah and everything that happened. And when George Washington heard that story, he decided if they could do it, we could do it. And it's a true story. Wait, the story doesn't end yet. We all know that they won. The American Revolution was successful. That's the United States of today. One of the great victories of freedom for the world. The whole world is benefiting till today from that victory. And a year or two after the victory, this Jewish soldier gets a knock on the door. And there's a royal entourage sent from George Washington with a special, I think, silver menorah. With this story. And you guys could look for it online. This is the names. I forgot the names. But the names are recorded. To this day, there are remnants from George Washington's connection with a Jew back in the Great Revolution. There's, if you look at a dollar, anyone here have an American dollar?
$5 bill.
You have a dollar? I'll show you something interesting on the dollar.
Show us a little thing with the words that are spelled like Jew or something like that?
No dollar. No dollar. Okay. I guess that's a good thing. If you look at the stars in the back of a dollar, we have a dollar, a green dollar, greenback.
That's American money. You're going to buy an island. You ever see something like that?
That's Washington. This is interesting. Every second you hold on to this, it's worth less and less. isn't it sad? What? No, look, I don't want the United States to go down. I'm not one of those people who says I want the United States to go down. I don't think so. I think there's a lot of good in that country. But unfortunately,
you know, it's a federal crime to debase an American dollar.
Well, I'm doing it with a pencil, not a pen. So you could erase it. If you look over here, I wrote in pencil, but really there's you could erase the pencil mark and you'll see there's a Magen David on the back of a dollar. I didn't do it. I put my pencil mark over the stars. There's this, the stars form a Magen David there.
Stories like it comes from the Masons.
There are other stories about that, but okay. At any rate,
if you follow this thing, this pyramid or whatever, for like the one triangle of the Magen David, and you connect the points, then apparently you spell Mason. Yeah. Okay, so this point here is the M. This point here is the N.
What's Mason? Excuse my ignorance.
The Freemasons.
So, they have the Masons here too in Israel. Actually, my great 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 grandfather is living in 1800s as the first Mason. Like went into the temple or something. I don't know what. Something fake. But they claim that they like built Solomon's temple or something like that.
Okay.
A lot of things. I don't know. Some group. It's,
So let's just summarize what we saw here. Okay, what do we see? He said, "Kit sam lechoshich," that Hashem put an end mark. Hashem put an end point to the darkness. There was an end to Yosef's period in jail, and he had discussed that the Yetzer Hara works in a world of darkness. And when there's light, so that pushes off the Yetzer Hara. It's only in the darkness that Yetzer Hara takes control. Tashet choshech vihi laila. It's in the darkness that botu moskol chay toyar. It's only in the darkness that the dark sides of a person can be aroused that way. And when a person can shine his light as a Jew, then the Yetzer Hara cannot take control. And part of that light is the recognition that the mundane world is not the essence of a person's life. And then he said that light is a light that a person can shine on his own, Sometimes when a person's down, there's nothing else to shine but the idea, the concept that Hashem is with him even in that darkness. That little spark is what can push away a lot of the darkness. And he said one time that the light reveals itself more clearly as the period of Shabbos. He said, what do our sages mean? That Shabbos is in Hashem's treasure chest. Shabbos is in Hashem's treasury. That's the idea of this light, the internal light of Shabbos. And he says the essence of Shabbos is this light. That the greatest joy that there is in the world is this light of Shabbos. And that same concept is in the candle of Hanukkah. The essence of Hanukkah is the one light. The one light is what he brings on tradition from Eliyahu HaNavi, that that's where the hidden light gets revealed in that one light. And he says that that works with the Ramban, that our Chanukiah is a continuation of the lights of the temple. It's God's light that's shining in our homes. And we have an opportunity on Chanukah to take hold of that light. Just as Shabbos can shine on the week, so too Chanukah can shine on the rest of the year if a person can grab hold of that light. And we can connect this back to the point that he said, the recognition that it is but a spark within us that can push away all the darkness. A person finds himself in a situation where the darker sides of him have taken control, where his evil tendencies are what's driving him. And he asks himself, how am I going to get out of this? And at those times, a person has to know that there's a spark that can never be extinguished. There's that spark of good that's within a person, that representation of the Shekhinah, that connection to the Shekhinah, which is something that nothing can extinguish. And if a person is willing to connect with that and recognize that it's there, sometimes it's just the thought, the recognition that Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is with me in the most dark place, because before Hashem there's no difference between light and darkness. That's how a person can start shining his light stronger. A person can tap into the light of Shabbos. A person can tap into the light of Hanukkah. These are points where there is greater a light being given from above. But at the end of the day, all of these points bring us back to the essence of all the light that's in a Jew's life, which is the beginning light, that spark that's within us that cannot be extinguished. And that's part of the idea of Hanukkah, that all it takes is one little light, and then it keeps growing. And that's what every person has to see. He has to be able to see the positive in himself, to see that little spark that's still there. And sometimes that little spark is simply the idea, I'm still connected to Hashem. I'm still a human being. Oh, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam, right. Sometimes you ask a person, what's good about you? And a person says, nothing. I'm just bad. So you have to remind the person, no. There's still one spark which you can't say is bad. At the end of the day, you are a representation of the Ribbono Shel Olam down here. There is that spark. There is neshamat torah shenatat bi. And everything else that you did is darkness that engulfs it. But there is a point in which Hashem says, before me there is no darkness, and I'm still with the person. And that's part of the idea that he said, that although the Shekhinah never goes down beneath ten tefachim, for the Hanukkah candle it does. For the Hanukkah candle is a representation of a light where the Shekhinah does appear, because bal yidach mimenu nitach. Hashem, no one's left out of Hashem's calculation. And no one's left out. There's none left behind. Bush thought he invented the idea. Hashem already said the idea. No one left behind. Bal yidach mimenu nidach, the Navi says. No one's left behind. The person on the bottom rung, the person who's 10 foot under, Hashem says, there's still that spark that I am still with him.